Thank you for your warm welcome. It's been lovely to be here with you all day. Margaret Griffiths from TAB sends her greetings. We popped in just before we came to check a few things up. Margaret Griffiths says to send her love and say hello to everyone. Our reading this evening is found from the first letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. "This cup is the new covenant, the new agreement in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats and drinks of the cup." Verse 33. "So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give you further instructions." This is the word of the Lord. I've been talking to a few people and found out that some of us have a very common background, which is that we had the privilege of being brought up in the Brethren. And, you know, we can knock a few things about them sometimes, but we're not going to. Because, you know, one of the things that I grew up to love was this service. When we met together to remember the Lord as we took bread and we took wine together. And some of you might remember the little black book that contains so many beautiful songs and hymns about communion. Because that's what we're doing tonight, isn't it? We've gathered together to praise God, to worship him, and to remember what our Lord Jesus has done. We've sung about what he did, that he chose the cross, that we might be forgiven and redeemed and restored to himself. And one of the songs, one of the hymns we used to sing went like this. "Jesus, Lord, we know you present at your table, freshly spread, seated at your priceless banquet, with your banner overhead, precious moments at your table." Are these precious moments to us tonight? Precious moments at your table, from all fear and doubt set free, here to rest, so sweetly able, occupied alone with thee. We've come here tonight to remember our Lord Jesus. It's been given many names, hasn't it, over the years. Some people call it Eucharist. Some people call it Holy Communion. Some people call it the breaking of bread or the Lord's table. Or the one that used to baffle me when we had it in the morning was the Lord's Supper. But, you know, that's what we call it. All sorts of different names. But it's an occasion that's been part of church life from the very beginning. If we read in Acts in chapter 2, we read this. "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts." We go back to 42. "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." This feast that we're enjoying tonight goes right back to the beginning of our history. And of course it carries on from the Jewish Passover, where Jesus took that bread that reminded them that Messiah was still to come. It was hidden. It was hidden. When's Messiah coming? Jesus said, "It's not hidden anymore. It's me. I've come." He took the bread. And they took the wine. The cup that was there ready for Elijah. You don't need it anymore, says Jesus, it's me. Take this bread and take this wine to remember me. And right from the beginning, his people have met together to take bread and wine to remember him. So why do we come this evening to break bread together? Well, in Luke chapter 22 and verse 19, Jesus said this, and he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup and he said, this cup is the new agreement, the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Jesus commands us to remember him, to keep this feast. And later on he says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So if we love the Lord Jesus here tonight, we come in obedience to him as well as love to remember what he has done for us. And it's a time when we take the bread and the wine as symbols of the Lord's body and blood to remember him until he comes again. You know, there's nothing special about this bread and this wine. I've had a look at it, and as far as I'm aware, it's an ordinary piece of matzo, and I'm not quite sure what you've got in the cups, whether it's communion wine or communion wine. It's just ordinary stuff. But it's a picture of Jesus. Nothing magical happens to it. Nothing special in that sort of sense that it suddenly changed into something different. It's a picture that shows us what Jesus has done for us. And it's for all those who have received the Lord as Savior and who love him. If you're here tonight and you have asked Jesus to forgive your sin, to be your Savior, to prepare a home for you in heaven, to be your friend forever, if you love him, this feast is for you. It's not reserved for special people, you know, the cream of the crop, the ones who've been good all week. It's for everyone who loves and trusts in Jesus. But it's also, says Paul, something that's very serious. You know, it's wonderful to be here, isn't it? It's exciting. It's thrilling to meet with God. But it's also serious and something that should change us. You know, Paul says, before you come to break bread, think. Think about what you're going to do. And perhaps I can suggest four things that will help us as we meet tonight to remember the Lord. The first thing that we need to do is to look back. To look back. The hymn says, O Lord, we come, for you are here. Enrich each memory. Your faithful promise draws us near and gathers us to thee. O body broken, poured out blood, blessed memories ever dear. O Son of Man and Lamb of God, it's good to meet you here. We need to look back and remember. You know, having a good memory is a wonderful thing, isn't it? But, you know, sometimes our memories aren't quite so good. You know, we all have that senior moment when we get to the top of the stairs and we think, what did I come up here for? And as soon as you go back down, you remember. You know, sometimes our memories are not as good as they should be. And our Lord knew that we were going to need help to remember. And so we look back. What do we look back to remember? We look back that the Lord Jesus came from heaven to earth. We remember his birth in a stable. We remember his life of love. The things that he said, the things that he did. But especially we remember his death. Not in a morbid fashion, but we just think of the fact that our Lord Jesus, as we've just sung, loved us so much that he was prepared to die for me. Now, some people like to think about all the details of the Lord's death. And if it helps you, then that's fine. But you know, all I need to read is, when they came to Calvary, they crucified him there. God eternal, who had never done anything wrong, who didn't have to be born, certainly didn't deserve to die. I remember that he died for me because he loved me. What did Paul say? The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. So as we look at this bread, we remember what has been done for us in the past. And we remember that our Saviour didn't stay dead, but that he rose again and defeated sin and death and hell. And then perhaps as we look at the bread and the wine, we don't just remember what Jesus did for us in the past, but perhaps we will remember how we came to him, how we came to trust in him. And we think, yes, maybe you can remember it was on that date that I came to trust Jesus. And you remember it. And for some of us, we might say, well, we can't remember the exact date, but we know the things that happened that drew us to Jesus and helped us to love and trust in him. And as we look back to what God has done, as we sang just now, we are filled with awe and humility, thanksgiving, and worship. So we look back. And then secondly, we need to look in. We need to look in. Paul says to the Christians in Corinth, when you take the bread and wine, it's very, very serious. And so you need to examine yourself before you eat. Some years ago, my father was a lay chaplain in Dartmoor Prison, and he often used to meet with the prisoners, and one time they were having a communion service, and someone read this passage and they said, what do you think that means, that we should examine ourselves before we eat? And one of the prisoners said, it means that none of us deserve to be here. And isn't that right? I'm not going to ask you, but when I look inside my heart and look at my life, I know that I don't deserve to be here. Remember the story of Mephibosheth in the Old Testament, the king's enemy, and yet he's called to the table of the king to feast with him forever. And God calls us to come and feast with him tonight. And yes, we are unworthy, but we can still eat. You notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say examine yourself and don't eat. It says examine yourself and then eat. And you see, as we examine ourselves, we will acknowledge that often we're not right with God. And that often we're not right with each other. And so we will confess it and put it right. Now, if we're here tonight and we know that we're sinning, and we don't want to put it right, then maybe we shouldn't take communion. But if we know, and are prepared to say to God and to other people, I'm sorry, we've examined ourselves, and we eat. We acknowledge our sin, confess our sin, resolve to put it right, accept God's forgiveness. You know, John wrote to the people, he said, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us. So we don't have to worry about it. We can come tonight and we can confess our sins to God and know that we are totally clear in his sight. I'm going to say, I wonder if he's in the mood to forgive me tonight. Am I too bad to be forgiven tonight? No. If we acknowledge and confess and trust in Jesus, we are sitting at this table as if I'd never sinned. Let's look in, examine our hearts, but thank God that he will forgive us because of what Jesus has done on the cross. Then we need to look around. We need to look around. Though many, we are one in thee, one body in the Lord. Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4. And verse 3. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16. Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. As we meet here together, there's not a huge number of us. There's more than there would have been in some places today, worshipping the Lord. But you know, we don't have to just look around and say, well, it's just us. All over the world today, people will have taken bread and wine to remember Jesus. All over this city, all over this country, in America and Europe, the far sides of the world, no matter where people live, where there are Christians, your brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters, will have remembered Jesus. Are you ever tempted to feel alone? Are you ever tempted to feel we're too small? No, we're not. Because we are part of a huge number of people who all belong to Jesus. We look around and we have communion with each other. Yes, I have communion with the Lord. You have communion with the Lord. But we also have communion with each other. Don't let anything come in and spoil it. Not bitterness, resentment, disagreement, argument, spite, jealousy. No, we're all one in Christ Jesus. We're family. We call each other brothers and sisters. And so when you take this bread, remember everyone else here is doing the same, because they love the same Lord as you love. They trust the same Lord as you love. They're going to the same heaven that you're going to. Look around. And look around at the wider church. All over this land. All over the world. Think of our brothers and sisters who can't meet like this. Think of our brothers and sisters tonight who are in prison, under house arrest, in threat of death and jail and persecution. There are brothers and sisters across the world, and we need to remember them in prayer and in practical ways. This communion that we share together is a sign of our oneness in Christ. We look back and remember what he's done. We look in and we admit, no, we don't deserve to be here. But Christ has made us fit when we believe and put our trust in him. We look around and know that we're one in Christ. And then finally, we look up and we look forward. Coming back to a bit of what we were saying this morning, the breaking of bread is a time of hope and encouragement, because it's only until he comes again. One day this bread and this wine, we won't need it anymore, because we'll be with Jesus. We'll see the real thing, the real one, not just a picture, but the real person, our Lord himself. His death wasn't the end. And if all we were doing tonight was sitting down and taking bread and wine and remembering somebody that was dead, that wouldn't really cheer us, would it? It wouldn't give us hope to go out tomorrow and get on with our lives and serving him and preaching the gospel. Wouldn't be much to tell anyone about, would it? But we not only remember his death, but we look forward to the time that he is coming again. He will return. Luke chapter 22, Jesus says, drink this with me now. I've desired to drink this with you, and I'm not going to do it again until we're in heaven. And as I read this morning, I just love these verses from the first letter of John. First letter of John. How great is the love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Not just a picture anymore, but as he is. And he who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. One day, we won't need to do this anymore. Sometimes when I come to communion, I think it's a Rolling Stones song, which isn't a terribly good thing to say, is it, when you come to communion? I shouldn't even know about the Rolling Stones, should I? But I think it was the Rolling Stones who sang a song that went something like this. This could be the last time, maybe it's the last. What if this was the last time that we were ever going to do this? Would we ask God to reveal more of himself to us? Would it be more precious to us? Would it be more special? Because one day it will be the last time. Whether God calls us home through death or Jesus comes again for us, we won't need to do it anymore. I once read of a man who every time he went to bed at night drew the curtains and said, maybe you'll come tonight, Lord. And when he woke up in the morning, he drew his curtains and said, maybe you'll come today, Lord. Perhaps we don't think about it often enough. That one day Jesus is coming again. And we don't know when it's going to be. So this could be the last time that we ever do this. And so let's make it really special. Because it's the most wonderful time when we take the bread and the wine. We look back. And as we look back, aren't we grateful for what God has done for us? We look in and we say, yeah, we don't deserve it. But Christ has done it for us. We look around and we say, we're all in this together. This small group, the big group over there, the bigger group over there, the huge group all over the world, we're in it. Brothers and sisters. And one day, we'll all be together in heaven with the Lord forever. And we'll praise him. So it's my prayer tonight that each one of us, as we come to this table in a few minutes, as we take the bread and the wine, we would just have a fresh insight, a fresh picture that the Spirit will reveal to us just how much Jesus has done for us, just how much he loved us, just how much he's got in store for us. And as a result of that, we will praise him and give him our lives once again. Father, may that be true of each one of us, that as again we look upon your cross, as we think about your love, that we will humbly give you our praise and the honour that you deserve. Amen.